Today, we're going to continue in our study, Passing Through, because we've talked about that you and I are, as Peter would say it, sojourners, pilgrims. We're just passing through in this life. There is something more that is there for us. We know that beyond this life, there is eternity with Christ and all of the blessings that flow from that, and that while we're here in this life, in the difficulties of this life, and this life is difficult, and this life has struggles, this life has defeats, this life has heartaches, we're only here for a moment. And there's something so much more that is awaiting us. But yet we are here, so how do we live here? But the problem is, can I be honest with you? The problem is that for a lot of believers, we're deceived. We've been deceived by lies. We've embraced lies in our life concerning about right now. For some ways, we actually think that now that I'm saved, I can just go on and do whatever I want to do. And in many ways, how many of you have ever read the book of Judges? Have you read the book of Judges in the Old Testament? There's a common statement in the book of Judges, and it says this, "And every man did what was right in their own eyes." You know what? If we could describe Christianity today in North America, I think that statement would probably fit us all. Everybody does what is right in their own eyes. In fact, if you try to talk to somebody today and you say to them, you know, I don't think you should be doing that as a Christian, the first thing that would come out of their mouth, what are you, some kind of legalist? Who are you to tell me what to do? And we've embraced this radical individualism as far as our Christian lives and how we're to respond and how we're to act. I can just do whatever I want to do because, here's the big one, I'm forgiven. Jesus forgives me. Like, that covers it all. Actually, when you say those kind of things, when you say you can do whatever you want to do, you are revealing that if you're a believer, that you're deceived. Now, what do I mean by that? I want to give you two things I want you to think about here when we talk about being deceived. Number one, we have cheapened the Christian life. We have cheapened the Christian life. In fact, we've become like the bumper stickers. It's kind of like bumper sticker Christianity. You know what I mean by bumper sticker Christianity? You ever seen the cars driving by? They're going really fast. They're breaking the law, but they got that nice little fish symbol on the back or that bumper sticker, and they'll say things like this. Here's a lie that we've embraced. Christians aren't perfect. They're forgiven. Have you seen that one? I just want to smash into their bumper and rip it off. I'm just being honest with you. How stupid is that? I mean, it is stupid. Well, it's truth. Yeah, but the way it's being communicated is very flippant. And it's almost like an excuse for how you're acting. An excuse for what you're doing that might be wrong. See, we've cheapened the Christian life. And I can explain to you why we've cheapened it. We've cheapened the Christian life because we don't truly understand the Christian life. We don't understand our salvation. We don't understand what Jesus did for us, what it cost him. We don't understand the investment that God made in us. We are, can I tell you what we're acting like? We're acting like spoiled children. Do you know what I'm talking about? You ever been to Walmart? Walked by the toy section? I've seen this number of times. Usually when I walk by there, there's some kid on the ground crying, "Oh, the toy!" I'll never forget it, being in the Walmart, and a little guy wanted two G.I. Joes. And the mommy's like, "Well, we don't have time or money right now for two G.I. Joes." "I want two G.I. Joes! I want what I want!" And then finally she breaks down and says, well, you can have one. But he kept on crying and screaming because he wanted what? Two. And then ultimately, to my shock, and thankfully I was walking away, she said what? All right, you can have them. And I know some of you are like, boy, I can't believe she did that. She's probably bearing the consequences of that now. Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing, though. But isn't that our perception of God? God, I want to do this! I'm forgiven! I'm free! I can do whatever I want to do! Who are you to tell me? I know you're God, but I want to do what I want to do! You forgive me! We're like spoiled children. And we've cheapened the Christian life. Here's the other thing. We've embraced the lie of a loving, permissive God. That's what I was just talking about earlier. We've embraced the lie of a loving, permissive God. Now you say, wait a minute now, George, it's not a lie that God is loving. God is love. Yes, God is love. But God is also just. It's the next thing that is a lie. Loving is an adjective. We have this concept that God allows us to do whatever we want, that he's permissive, and that's loving. Friends, being permissive sometimes is not loving. In fact, I have a lot of parents here. Sometimes you have to say no because you what? Love them, right? Sometimes you know that permissiveness isn't love. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes love is tough because you see further down the road what is going to happen in their life if they go down that path. But see, we've got this concept that God is like that. We've got this concept that he just lets me do whatever I want him to let me do, and I can just go to him and whip out my forgiveness card and say, well, Jesus paid it all, and I'm forgiven. I just need to confess my sins. And in fact, that's what the Bible says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Yeah, but you're missing a whole lot of what the Bible says. Very same book talks about if you act in a certain way, then the truth is what? Not in you. We've been deceived. Now, let me just stop for a moment. I just need to help you to understand what I'm saying. Because you might be saying there, well, that's awfully nice of you, George. You're telling me that I've been lied to and I've embraced a lie. Like you're perfect. No, I'm not perfect, folks. I'm going to tell you right now, you've been deceived, and I've been deceived. We've deceived ourselves with a concept of God that is not biblical. Period. I've embraced it, you've embraced it. So I was reading, because you know me, I preach through books, so I'm reading these next few verses. And God slaps me upside the head. And believe me, folks, he needs to sometimes. So I want you to read with me what he says. Here's what he says, verse 17. And if you call on the Father, okay, stop for a moment. Who is that? You and I. Because we call on the Father in what? Prayer, right? If you're a believer here, you believe God the Father is your Father, right? Am I correct? Not enough coffee flowing here this morning. Are we correct? Yeah. Yeah, all right, listen. So if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout your time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Wow. What's he saying there? Well, I'm going to tell you what he's saying there. I'm going to bring it down to a level that all of us can understand. He's talking about our responsibility with an investment. Now, does everybody understand an investment? You know, an investment is where you give of something and you expect a return, right? So, for instance, some of you maybe have 401k plans, maybe some of you have an IRA, and you went to your financial planner and he put it in stocks or he put it in mutual funds, and you're hoping for a return on your 401k or your IRA or your investment so that when you retire, you have more than just pennies, right? Isn't that what we're doing? Okay, isn't that what they tell us? Okay. And you know that every year, the people you invested your money to have a fiduciary duty to you to be what? Responsible with your what? Investment. So there are certain things that they can do, and there are certain things that they can't do with your investment. Everybody understands that, right? God made an investment in you. You. You, just little old you. He made a major investment in you. And because of that investment, he requires something from you. But see, a lot of us aren't even aware of that. We just thought he just gave us this blanket forgiveness and freedom that we can do whatever we want to do. I can just whip out my forgiveness card and I'm okay. But God made an investment into you. In fact, that's what he's saying here in these verses. He's saying, I made an investment. The investment I made is called Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus, there's something I need from you. So let's look at it together. We're going to take these verses and we're going to divide it up into two sections. We're going to look, first of all, at verse 17. We're going to see the investment responsibility that we have. We're going to see the responsibility with the investment in verse 17. And then we're going to see the investment that was made. We're redeemed. We're going to see that in verses 18 through 21. So let's talk about the responsibility. Let me read to you verse 17 again. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. So here's what he's saying. I can take this verse and bring to you three statements that hopefully will open up your mind like it opened up my mind this week. Here's what I want you to see. First of all, identifying as a believer requires that you live a certain way. Oh, there you go, George. All right, I knew we were heading there. We're heading to the legalism thing, and we're heading to the bondage of years ago where you can't go to the theater, and you can't go over here to this restaurant because it has alcohol, or I can't even go in Snappy's now because Snappy's is selling beer. Can't go to Sheetz now and get my Sheetz muffin or whatever because they're selling beer there now. We're getting back to that legalism thing again, aren't we, George? Isn't that what you're talking about? No, I'm not talking about that at all. I am not talking about legalism. I'm talking about how God wants you to live. That's something completely different. See, because you can do all that legalistic stuff and still not live for God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can do all that legalistic stuff and still not live for God. What are you talking about, George? Listen, folks. I've been a believer now since 1985, 33 years. In my earlier years, I was in the Independent Baptist Church. And in the Independent Baptist Church, I met some folks who kept it right down to the line. They had their hair the right size. They wore the right, carried the right Bible, wore the right clothes, didn't go to the wrong places. And I'm going to tell you something. They were the meanest, miserable people I've ever met in my life. Some of them were downright evil. So you can do the legalism thing and not be right. And not live the way God wants you to live. See, identifying as a believer. How do I know that he's saying that? He says, if you call on the Father. It's an implied reality here. An if-then statement is an implied reality. And the implied reality here is that if you call on him, you are required by the one you call on to live a certain way. You, whether you realize it or not, and for a lot of folks they don't realize it because they're doing what Judges says, they're living what? Doing what's right in their own eyes. Folks, it's not a question of doing what you think is right, it's a question of doing what God thinks is right. Do you understand? That's what the bottom line is. Identifying as a believer requires that you live a certain way. Now, why do I do that? Well, isn't it interesting? Look at what he says here. Very next statement. He's trying to help you to understand who this Father is that you have. Look at what he says there in verse 17. And if you call on the Father, now here's what he says about the Father. Who, without partiality, judges according to each one's work. Whoa. Here's what he says. You are accountable to God who judges everyone impartially. You are accountable to God. Here, you know what? The concept of doing whatever you want to do and doing what's right in your own eyes, and I can do whatever, I'm forgiven now. Can I be honest with you? That is such a flippant attitude to have that fails to recognize a central truth of the Bible, is that every human being is ultimately accountable to God, period. And that includes believers. Just because you've embraced salvation doesn't mean that you can just go do whatever you want to do now. You're still accountable to God. Well, I'm not going to hell. Yeah, you're not going to hell. But that doesn't mean he doesn't hold you accountable. In fact, the Bible has many chapters where he talks about, okay, you're not going to hell, but I'll discipline you right now. And have you ever experienced the disciplining hand of God in your life? I have. It ain't pleasant. Do you understand? Well, I thought he was loving. He is loving. And sometimes the loving father disciplines his children. What? For their own sake. Isn't that why we discipline children? We don't discipline children just because we're reacting to what they're doing. We discipline them because we love them and we're hoping to what? Mold them into being an adult. Do you understand? God is wanting to mold us into being who he wants us to be. The believer that we need to be. And you're accountable to him. You're accountable to God. And here's the interesting thing. I think he's making the point of the accountability because it says he just